You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's the weekend. Time for rest, relaxation, and another edition of New Wisco Weekend. A weekly look at issues, arts, entertainment, culture, and everything that makes New Wisco home. Now, here's your host, Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. This edition is taking a deep dive into the darkness coming to the months ahead, but we'll keep things on the sunnier side with some positive vibes for you. Our cover story focuses on the foods you eat, the things to do, and the importance of sleep for your brain fitness in the fall. And as temperatures drop, everyone loves the comfort of soup. Amanda Nimmer gives us a taste of the best soups in New Wisco. Later, we'll have how one singer-songwriter describes music as a light, and she's happy to share her light with you. We'll have stories from the recent AARP Wisconsin political poll. Conrad Krieger reports on the fusion of sports. Pete Schwabe has the classic cinema pick of the week. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot turns us on to a mini moon coming to the night sky. Let's open up this issue of New Wisco Weekend with our lead correspondent, Terry Barr, who had a great chat with a counselor at Bell & Health and how she says you can look for the light every single day.
Happy to have joining me to talk about the changing seasons and really how to not fall down the rabbit hole of darkness. Pam Baranchik. Pam is a counselor with Bell & Health in Green Bay. Hi, Pam. Thanks for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You think about the changing seasons, and sometimes you feel like you're changing with it. What is it about this time of year, Pam?
Oh, you know, I love that you identified the changing seasons, the changes that go with it. Fall is one of my favorite seasons. I love sweater weather. I love just that crisp, cool air. It's so symbolic in terms of just transformation in our life. I think there's so many great things about fall, but there are some downsides too. I guess, you know, it does get darker. For some people, that can be a little bit problematic.
The days with the light, as you're talking about, are becoming shorter. And so then that means, of course, more darkness for all of us. How do we deal with this? What do we do? How do we kind of trick our mind into thinking, okay, I can do this and I can be cheerful through this season?
You know, as we were kind of referencing, I think a lot of people's mood shifts a little bit in the winter. Sometimes that some people are very, very much affected by the change in light. They may find that as it gets darker, they're sleeping too much or too little. That change in that circadian rhythm, it can really wreak havoc on our body's production of serotonin and melatonin. We maybe are producing a little too much melatonin, which is making us feel more tired, but not sleeping quite as well. Something that can sometimes help with that is having a really structured bedtime routine, trying to go to bed around the same time each night, wake up around the same time or within about an hour of the same time each morning, maybe having a routine in the evening, taking a warm bath before bed, maybe drinking some hot tea. Another thing that sometimes people really notice during the dark days are the changes in appetite. I think especially during this time, it's important to really be intentional about staying on top of eating a balanced diet with fruit, vegetables, so that we're really giving our body that wide range of nutritional benefit. If we notice that we really are withdrawing from the things that we usually do for enjoyment, we can kind of repeat the mantra of I'm going to bring my body and my mind will follow. So I'm going to do these things that I usually enjoy, even if I'm not enjoying them today, just getting out, being active. There's going to be some benefit that comes from that.
Pam Baranchik, Bell & Health Counselor, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Terry. It was good talking with you.
And you as well.
Terry continues this conversation right here next week when we turn our attention to the importance of mental health on New Wisco Weekend.
We get it almost every night. And when that moon gets big and bright, it's supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight.
This is New Wisco Weekend on 98.3 WISS and 97.9 WGBW. Everybody.
You hear a lot about fusion in cuisine, but what about athletics? Conrad Krieger reports on New Wisco Weekend.
There are many unique activities that combine sports into one hybrid game. One popular sport in Wisconsin is foot golf, which combines soccer and golf. Playing like regular golf, you navigate through 18 holes, but instead of using an iron or a driver, you use your foot. I talk with host of Nightlight, Pete Schwaba, who has played the game for many years in northeastern Wisconsin.
It's a game, everyone has their own soccer ball. There's a course set up and trees act as the holes. So you kick your ball and there's pars just like there is in golf, and you have to get your ball to hit the tree in the allotted amount of strokes or par. So it works just like golf. And we started it because during the summer, the first summer of the pandemic in 2020, you know, we live in a neighborhood where it was nice because we could walk and we could keep our distance. This game was like COVID friendly because everybody had their own ball. You weren't that close to each other. You're only touching your own ball. It worked out well. So we could play it and still be outside, still be somewhat active. It's not like you work up a sweat or anything. What's interesting about soccer golf is it can be equally as frustrating as actual golf, because you could have a chip in, you get 4 feet away from a tree and you could miss the tree and it will drive you crazy.
It's played like a regular round of golf. You play either 9 or 18 and it's the same scoring par.
We have an 18 hole course in my little neighborhood and there's a lot of trees, and we do 9 and we back up, and there are certain variations on the back 9, but it's essentially the same course, but we have a 9 hole or an 18 hole.
How do you tee off?
Just like you tee off in golf. If there are some holes you can't kick it there on one kick, you'd need 2 kicks, or there are some shorter ones where a hole-in-one is possible. We've had several hole-in-ones or tree-in-ones, whatever you want to call them. but it works the same exact way. There's a tee-off area.
What do you need to just play around?
Nothing. You need your soccer ball and your foot, and that's it. You literally can wear jeans. You could play in a tuxedo if you wanted, or shorts.
I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a foot golf competitive league that they play on actual courses. How do you feel about that?
I would love a shot at the title. because honestly, playing on a real course, you know, you wouldn't have the inconsistencies that we have. And I'm not saying, I don't know if that makes us better or not. Maybe we wouldn't play as well on a smooth course, but it would be fun to try for sure.
What time of year do you usually play this?
When we first started, my friend Mike and I would play almost every day. I would get done with my work and he would get done at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We play even through the snow. Like, we liked the game so much during that COVID summer. We played through the fall with some people, and then he and I, at least, and sometimes my daughter would go out in the snow. And when the snow is new fallen and powdery, it's really hard to play. But then the snow can like get dried and frozen and your ball just sails. So it's fun to play at different times with different ground coverings. But yeah, we've played year round quite a bit.
Is this a mental game as well?
It's interesting. It is, but you also don't want to overthink it, because actually one of the funniest things you see is when someone has an easy kick and you see them blow it. Like, and I'm usually that guy. I get inside my own head. But it's a mental game to a point, but I wouldn't say it's quite as mental as golf. There's much more nuance in lining a shot up with golf or the way the club hits the ball. But in soccer golf, you have to figure out, are you going to kick soccer style? Are you going to toe kick it and try to put topspin on it? There are those intricacies, but I wouldn't say it's quite as quite like golf that way.
That was Pete Schwaba, host of Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
When a child is placed in foster care by Child Protective Services, they sometimes have nothing but the clothes on their back. New foster families sometimes don't have the items needed to help a specific child. Foster the Village is a nonprofit organization in Brown County that's there to fill in those gaps. Sherry Salmon is the executive director of Foster the Village.
From diapers, clothing, shoes, bikes, car seats, you name it. Some things have to be new and other things can be gently used. Some things that have to be new, socks, underwear, car seat, those kinds of things.
Salmon said that there is a strong need for foster homes and foster families in Northeast Wisconsin. And Foster the Village is there to take some of the stress off of those families and provide some much needed self-esteem for the children.
I'm a foster parent and I've been fostering for about 12 years. And I just saw the need when kids come into care and they're typically coming with the clothing on their back or and usually sometimes that's even too small for them. So there's just a lot of needs when kids come into care. And the last thing I want foster families to worry about is having to go out and go shopping for the kids.
Right.
There's so many other things you need to worry about. Getting them to the doctor, to the dentist, maybe signing them up for school again, just helping them feel comfortable in your home. There's so many other things I don't want them to have to focus on that or have that be a barrier to people fostering.
The need for foster families and foster homes is growing in Brown County and Northeast Wisconsin every year. Salmon says in 2023, Foster the Village served 16,013 children. They support all the foster agencies in Brown County. And all the support that Foster the Village provides to those foster agencies, foster families, homes, and children in the system is funded by the community, donations, and grants.
But I tell you, there's a lot of good in this community. There's so many people that step up. When I post for something, we just had a kiddo that needed a bike. So somebody donated a bike, a helmet, clothing for him. I mean, just talk about putting a smile on a kiddo's face, right?
Foster the Village is more than just a place for supplies or where the children can shop for something of their own. It also offers childcare, support groups, and other resources to help foster families thrive. The organization is there when a child ages out of the system as well.
So he was turning 18 and had to move out. So the social worker brought him in and we were able to get him a bike so he could get to work, get him some shoes for work, get him clothing, get him a suitcase, hygiene products, laundry detergent, all those kinds of things to help him be successful.
Foster the Village is at 1440 Division Street in Green Bay. Their website is fosterthevillage.org. They also have a Facebook page where Salmon posts their immediate needs and wants. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
After the lights go down low, baby, you know, there'll be no reason for teasing me, sir. And when the dancing is through, and folks will be few, I'll be here sitting with no one but you. And I'll be needing you, sir. After the lights go down low.
When we come back, our cover story on keeping your brain spry and healthy. And Amanda Nimmer talks warm and comforting soup. Plus the classic cinema pick of the week. This is New Wisco Weekend.
And make you understand. And when you thrill me, you fill me with love so divine. Together we can have a good time. When the lights go down low.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, Brittany Merlot tells us of a new light in the night sky. First, Peach Wabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Peach Wabba's classic movie pick of the week.
This week's classic flick might have flown under your radar. It involves New York City, a clown, and a bank robbery. It's 1990's Quick Change, starring Bill Murray, Gina Davis, and Randy Quaid. The film opens with Murray's character, Grimm, robbing a bank while dressed as a clown. After taking all the bank's customers hostage, including its elderly security guard, hilariously played by the legendary Bob Elliott, Grimm gives the NYPD an ultimatum. Meet his demands, which include a helicopter and a monster truck, or he'll blow the place up. Every time a demand is met, he lets a hostage go. First, it's Randy Quaid. Then Gina Davis, and then Murray, who exits the bank after having ditched the clown getup like he's one of the hostages. The gimmick buys the bank robbing trio some time to sneak away with all the money they took. The only problem is they can't seem to get out of New York City, which was the whole point for robbing the bank in the first place. Their escape plan goes south when they get robbed themselves, have a run-in with the mob, and can't find the freeway due to a construction zone.
Let's just walk through this, okay? Does that sign say BQE?
Yeah.
Okay, so which way was the arrow pointing?
That was an hour ago, and that witch ain't stopped screaming the whole time.
Yeah, she even had her bank screaming at us. All right, let me try this. Will you be putting up a new sign?
Not today.
Today's just take down. Can you tell us anything? the names of a street, any street, the directions, north, south.
It's not our neighborhood.
Honey, babe, you've got a gun. Shoot them.
I want to, but they're furbering. I'd need some kind of permit, wouldn't I?
See, I want to thank you guys. You could have given us help, but you've given us so much more.
Hey, that's what we're here for, right?
The movie is one frustrating scene after another for our anti-heroes as the city they try to escape from says no way. One of the film's funniest scenes includes Northeast Wisconsin native Tony Shalhoub. Quick Change was one of Shalhoub's first film roles in which he plays a cab driver who doesn't speak English and he literally owns the scene. This hilarious heist film was co-directed by Bill Murray and Howard Franklin. It has big laughs, lots of tension, and brilliant suggestion on how to rob a bank. Quick Change never got the attention it deserved, but we can change that here in Northeast Wisconsin as it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
Get ready for a new light in our night sky. Meteorologist Brittany Brunlow reports.
We're inheriting a mini moon, but it's only temporary, lasting for just a few weeks. An asteroid about the size of a city bus will be entering Earth's orbit on Sunday. Don't worry, there's no threat, and scientists have named it Asteroid 2024 PT5. It was found in early August and will be sucked near us for about 57 days. It's a space rock from the Arjuna asteroid belt, which lies 93 million miles away from the sun. Researchers say that it's a part of the near-Earth asteroids and comets. In order for it to become a mini-moon, though, it needs to get close enough to Earth at around 2.8 million miles away and slow down at speeds of around 2,200 miles per hour. Under these specific conditions, the geocentric energy grows negative and allows it to become a temporary moon controlled by our magnetic fields. It will stay stuck in this process for about 2 months, flinging out of Earth's orbit on Monday, November 25th. And it's not going to follow a full orbit around Earth. Scientists say that's rare. They call that long capture episodes, which only happens once every 10 to 20 years. So a short-term moon sounds manageable. It's happened before in 1981, 1991, and in 2022. This actually occurs so often that some researchers believe Earth always has at least one mini moon hovering close in space. So how did this specific lone rock make its way all the way here? Well, gravitational disturbances from the sun eject space debris, pushing them out of our sun-centered orbit, where they're essentially pulled into ours for just a bit. Unfortunately, though, while this mini-moon hangs out around Earth, we will not be able to see it with our naked eyes. And it's too small and too dim for typical amateur telescopes and binoculars. However, it is well within the brightness range for telescopes used by professional astronomers. So, check with your local observatory for viewing hours. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Now on New Wisco Weekend, it's time for one of my favorite segments of the show. What can you rely on every fall or winter to warm not only your body, but your soul? Amanda Nimmer can tell us on New Wisco Weekend.
Now that it's officially fall, night is creeping in faster and faster, and it's also getting colder. We find ourselves looking for comfort, something that makes us feel warm on the inside, especially on like a cloudy, rainy day with brisk wind in the air. And before you say, are we talking about pumpkin spice lattes again? No, I'm talking about soup. It is soup season, people. And while you can have soup any time of the year, you'll find yourself wanting a bowl more and more as fall slowly creeps into winter and things get cold. And a nice warm bowl of soup not only warms you up, but it brings back that nostalgia feeling of being curled up on the couch when you're homesick from school, watching your good old pal Bob Barker on the TV. Or if your parents weren't home, Jerry Springer. That being said, let's move on to the best soups in Northeast Wisconsin. Surprisingly, this was difficult. Not only having to narrow down some of the best soups in the Northeast area, but in Wisconsin in general, because you'd think there would be a soup ranking, and surprisingly, there is not. So I did my due diligence and researched the crap out of our Northeast area, and here's what I've come up with. Number 3 is a Northeast Wisconsin treat. In fact, if you're like me and not a Northeast Wisconsin native, you might have never even heard of a little soup called Booyah. Booyah kind kind of like chicken noodle, but also at the same time, not really. Bouillabaisse is considered a hearty Belgian stew. It is made with chicken broth or beef broth, with chicken or beef, mixed veggies, and simmered in a large vat over an open fire for several hours, making the several hours part the key difference between chicken noodle soup and bouillabaisse, also the beef. The best place to get yourself a bowl of bouillabaisse is in Green Bay at the Bouillabaisse Shed. Here's number two. Making waves in 2018, our next soup was nominated as the best soup of the 2018 Soup Walk on the east side of Appleton. Grab yourself a nice warm bowl of creamy vegetable soup, created and made with love by what was known formerly as the Appleton Street Bar and Grill, but is now known as Mead Street Bistro. As of 2024, you can find the number one soup not only in Northeast Wisconsin, but in the entire state of Wisconsin, a little south down the shoreline at Horse and Plow. Horse and Plow in Kohler has been crowned Best Soup of Wisconsin with their beer cheese soup. It is made locally with three different types of cheese: cheddar, Swiss, and pepper jack, cut with Wisconsin brewed beer. You know we make the best beer. Add in some heavy cream, some Worcestershire sauce, and some Tabasco for that extra kick that brings it all together. Topped with seasoned croutons for a little bit of crunch, this soup is the number one soup of 2024. I mean, it kind of makes sense. With us being Wisconsinites, beer cheese soup is, of course, going to be near the top of the list. But here's the kicker for that. As of a few days ago, Wisconsin beer cheese soup is now officially ranked number 21 in the best fall comfort foods of the United States. If you feel that I am completely wrong in my research, please, I would love to hear it. Text us, what do you think the best soups in the area are? Download the Civic Media app today. Select WISS or WGBW as your station and text in now. But in the meantime, as the days are getting darker, pull out those crock pots and start making some soup. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story on keeping your brain fit and a look at AARP's recent political poll. We'll be back right after the news.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
If I only had a brain.
This is New Wisco Weekend. For WISS, WGBW, and Civic Media, I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's time for our cover story. Lorena Tipping works with the Brain Center of Green Bay. She appeared on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor recently to discuss keeping your brain fit. Here's part of that interview with Jim Schmidt and John Mino.
The Brain Center of Green Bay, so we work with anyone that has a brain.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
I'm not, this is the only time I'm going to interrupt.
Can John still qualify? can I still come?
You done? Is there such a thing as brain food?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, there are healthy. So our brain wants two different things. It wants sugar, right?
Okay.
Or ketones, like healthy fats.
Okay.
So that's how we want to make our brain stronger, by giving it the healthy nutrition and food.
And
so
then does that correspondingly make you feel good? Gives you your endorphins?
Yeah. How do you feel at Thanksgiving when you eat carbs and mashed potatoes and you just want to sleep after, right?
Right.
And how do you feel if you have a salad for lunch?
Hungry.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Hungry.
that is kind of true.
We promised we were not going to interrupt you for 2 minutes.
Well, yeah, but this is fun. That's right. Why I brought in this replica brain.
Okay.
Should I pull it out?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm a little my first question is,
John, this will be news for you.
All right.
Okay. All right. How much does our brain weigh?
I would
8 pounds.
Lower.
A 4.
Two. Oh, no, wait a minute. No.
Get this.
Wait. Todd?
What?
Jerry Maguire.
What about it?
Jerry, do you know that the human brain weighs 8 pounds? Remember? The little kid?
John gets all his facts from TV.
Look it up, Jerry Maguire.
I do see it, yes.
Play the quote, please. Play the quote.
Let's see if I can get it.
It's clean.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. Good.
We'll see you there. God bless you, Jerry.
Okay, Avery will meet you at the B gate at 4:15. Don't be late.
Jared, do you know the human head weighs 8 pounds?
There you go.
Head. Oh, my. Oh, the head. I might be debunked here. Oh, dear.
Okay.
The human head.
Yeah. Not the brain. But I had a flashback to a story. No. When I was a little kid, I was laying on the floor and my head was on a scale and I was holding a mirror up.
Oh my God.
And my mom said, "What are you doing?" I just wanted to see how much my head weighed. That's a true story. We'll go back to the brain.
Your head is not your
brain. It's just a very small.
Wow.
I did. I was on the scale, John, laying on there and put my head on there.
How much did it weigh?
I don't know, probably 8 pounds. So, I don't remember that.
You could fit the whole thing on there.
After hearing the story, I kind of think Jim should go in and have it checked.
I think really, so too. Absolutely.
She wants to get to the 2 pounds of my head, the brain.
So it does actually weigh 2 to 3 pounds.
Oh,
so,
is that the size of a real brain?
Yeah, so go ahead. You can pass the brain around for you. 2 to 3 pounds on average. And it's not how much your brain weighs. It's how strong it is.
Okay.
So you can use it and exercise it like any muscle in your body.
All right.
So you use it or you lose it is right the same.
How much?
Make it stronger.
What kind of things do you do to make your brain stronger?
So it's called cognitive stimulation.
Right.
Yeah. And that's going to be anything from what you're doing here right now. You're socializing. You're laughing.
Okay.
You're learning new things. You just Googled Jerry Maguire, right?
Ah.
So you're cognitively stimulating your brain. That's called neuroplasticity.
I like that.
Yeah.
Are we stimulating people's brains who are listening, do you think? Maybe?
No. I think so. Absolutely, right? We're making them think.
Certainly mine, though, right?
Yeah,
I'm working in here.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
We're doing like a great thing physically for people.
Yes. So for you listeners, you can thank us for your neuroplasticity.
Absolutely. How about a little something for the effort, people? Thank you, Todd.
All right, Todd.
Yeah.
No, but other things would be gardening, socializing. More than brain games, more than Sudoku, you're going to be doing learning a new language, playing the guitar, anything that is new, because your brain actually is very automatic and it gets lazy. And we don't want it to be lazy because you have on average 70,000 thoughts per day. That's a lot of thoughts.
Let me ask you this, though. Let's say you are doing these things and you're keeping it, fine tuned or whatever. Does that help prevent things like the, dementias and the different thing or even depression? I know some people, I know some older people, they very quietly suffer from depression and you wouldn't think it. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you're retired. Everything is good. But they really do. I mean, what are some of these things that could help prevent?
Absolutely. So,
and I'm not saying it's going to prevent dementia,
no.
But you know what I mean?
But think about when we were isolated during the COVID times. That was difficult. We couldn't go to our favorite restaurants. We couldn't see the people that we loved. So that was a very good example of what it is to be isolated. So socialization is so important. And communities and people that decrease their risk for dementia are socializing. They are getting out. They are stimulating their brain. So you got to think about that.
Jim, any comments? You look like you're in deep thought.
I was thinking of the blue zones where people, and that's been studied by the Butners, which are, they've been in Green Bay a number of times, just an awesome family that really spent their, a lot of money, but just traveling all over the world, finding the healthiest people. And one of the things you just mentioned was they're learning new things, learning to play an instrument when they're like 90, which I think is like really cool.
Yeah.
Languages for sure. And then that socializing, you need to socialize every day with, a group, be a card group or
And they're physically moving.
Oh, totally. There's a lot of that too.
Move, which is so important. So that's what we do at the Brain Center is we talk about those 6 pillars of brain health. We want to reduce injury. We want to talk about healthy sleep. You need sleep. That decreases your risk of Alzheimer's if you actually have good sleep. Hit your deep sleep pattern. We talk about, like I said, nutrition, cognitive stimulation, stress. That impacts your brain health as well. So the blue zones is such a great example because they incorporate those 6 pillars of brain health.
Cool. I don't understand though the blue zone. What is a blue zone?
That's a zone, like an area, a piece of geography where the healthiest people, they say they live the longest, and living the longest isn't really the game. It's living healthiest the longest. And these people, obviously it's in Northern California, but the rest of it, I think that's the only really true blue zone in the United States.
Correct.
The rest of it's all pretty much Japan and they eat, they eat well, but they just live a really simple, it's kind of simple. There's just not, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of tech.
Why Northern California?
Well, you know.
Yeah, same thing, because it's a community, yeah. And they're actually, it's, I believe, more of like a retirement type of community. Okay. So they have those activities, they have the physical exercise, they're eating healthy. If you can get anything in your body, it's going to be those omega-3s, those healthy fish.
To exercise the brain, like, you know, we're told by our personal trainers to exercise our body, but the brain is, it needs work. I need to check the box on sleep, because I don't do that. Like, I've been up 2:30. I watched that. I shouldn't get up at 2. But anyway, here I am. I'm happy to be here. But what about the six pillars? Tell me, you know, what are they?
Yeah. So what we do is we talk about cognitive stimulation. So that's more than brain games, more than Sudoku. Our coaches will meet one-on-one with people. They'll talk about, are they getting enough sleep? Sleep gets worse as we age.
So it's not our fault.
Okay. No, because you get up multiple times.
So I've even tried sleep gummies.
So if you're sedated, that's going to actually help you get to sleep, but it's going to be a disruptive sleep.
Okay. And that happens to you, John.
You're exactly right.
Your brain starts racing.
All night last night, that's exactly what it was, just racing.
You pass out, but then you don't.
No, I don't, because I don't even drink anymore.
Well, and that's good too, because alcohol does impact your deep sleep, and that's what you want.
Yes.
Is that deep sleep.
Yes. How can you get that?
Definitely.
Because, like what Todd said too, as far as like, my doctor tried Advil PM, told me Advil PM, but again, crazy dreams, and I wake up sweating.
So, what we would look at is how's your exercise, your movement during the day? Okay. How are you eating?
Good.
The salmon from the dollar store?
That's all I eat.
And your cognitive stimulation. So it's actually looking at your lifestyle too. But just know that, sleep does get harder as we age.
Tipping was a guest on Mino and the Mayor, airing weekdays on WISS and WGBW, Civic Media Radio stations.
Children play in the park. They don't know I'm a
This is New Wisco Weekend on 98.3 WISS and 97.9 WGBW.
Earlier this month, AARP Wisconsin released their latest presidential poll that again shows the importance of voters 50 and older. Jeff List is a pollster and a partner at Impact Research.
Yes, we had done a survey in Wisconsin just after the first presidential debate between Biden and Trump, and now we have just updated that with new survey data that is out today. And it looked at the presidential race, the Senate race, state legislature, as well as the issues that matter to all voters, but especially voters over age 50.
List says there are trends both statewide and among older voters since there's been a change in the Democratic ticket.
The last time that we fielded a survey in Wisconsin, former President Trump was winning by 6 points. And in the data that's out today, Kamala Harris is leading by 3 points. And you see movement in that race with both younger and older voters. So former President Trump was leading voters under 50 by 4 points last time. Now Kamala Harris is ahead by 9 points. And then with voters over 50, former President Trump was leading by 7 points, and now he's leading by 2 points. So that's gotten a lot tighter. And if you also look at partisanship across age groups, Kamala Harris is doing a much better job of getting support from Democrats than President Biden was. And also she's got stronger support among independent voters.
There are also differences in demographics.
There's a gender gap in Wisconsin. Kamala Harris is ahead by 11 points among women, and former President Trump is ahead by 7 points among men. And Wisconsin is also a state that has had big gaps by education. And voters without a college degree are voting for former President Trump by 10 points. And voters who have a college degree or more are choosing Kamala Harris by 24 points at this point.
Liss adds that the gaps are also playing out in the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin.
Tanya Baldwin is currently ahead by 3 points, and there's a big gender gap in that race where she's ahead by 13 points with women, but trailing by 7 points with men. And there's also a big education gap in that race where she's ahead by 22 points with college-educated voters and trailing by 7 points with non-college voters.
He says when it comes to issues, immigration matters to Republicans, and abortion and threats to democracy matter to Democrats. However, personal economics matter to the persuadable voters.
One of the things that we saw that was really interesting is that Social Security is an issue that matters a lot to older voters. 77% of voters over 50 say that Social Security is either extremely or very important to them. And that is not an issue that, as it has been in the past, is a core strength for Democrats. It's actually a toss-up, a very competitive issue. The people who say that Social Security is extremely or very important to them, they're within 2 points on the presidential race, and they're within 5 points in the U.S. Senate race. So they're really up for grabs.
Medicare is also an issue, but not as big of an issue as others.
It's not significantly bigger than something like family caregiving. You've got 27% of Wisconsin voters over age 50 who are currently caring for an older or ill adult or someone with a disability. And those family caregivers are a really competitive group. They're voting for Kamala Harris by 3 points. They're voting for Tammy Baldwin by 7 points. But if you ask them who they're more likely to vote for in a race for state assembly, they're saying Republicans by 5 points. So there are a lot of ticket splitters among those caregivers. It represents a real opportunity for candidates to talk about an issue that matters to a swing voter bloc. And there are a lot of swing voters over age 50. 16% of voters over age 50 are not voting a straight ticket right now, which means that they're in play for any of these races.
This new poll finds 48% of likely voters backing Vice President Kamala Harris, 45% supporting former President Donald Trump, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who remains on the ballot after dropping out of the race, at 2%. Still ahead on New Wisco Weekend, one Wisconsin artist and her description of music as a light in the darkness, and why she's now putting those thoughts into her songs. That's coming up next. This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. It's already time to wrap up this edition. We hope you've enjoyed our lighter look at the darkness creeping in this time of year. We end with a Wisconsin singer-songwriter who tells our Terry Barr she's had her share of darkness. But by putting her thoughts into her music, she's found the light, and she hopes you do too.
Games that you play don't mean anything. Forgiveness is key. Forgive and forget. I'll walk away instead. I'll forgive and forget you. I'll forgive and forget you. I'm gonna burn those bridges down. Burn those bridges down.
We are listening to part of the song Burning Bridges. Now, this is from Wisconsin singer-songwriter Shekinah King, who joins us. Shekinah, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure.
This is such a powerful song. What to you is Burning Bridges about?
So the song is really about burning out the insecurities that other people's words leave. I was doing a show last summer, and this guy came up to me and thought he needed to tell me how much he hated my music. And he was like, "You suck, you're so boring," and just on and on and on. And I don't know if I was more upset at the words he said or if I was more upset at how I let his words affect me. So Burning Bridges is about labels that other people want to give us and burning out the insecurities and not allowing negative people to speak into your life in such a way.
I'm actually, this sounds strange, but I'm a bit grateful to him because you have put out an incredible song of his silliness.
I tell people too, like, I've been looking for him ever since to thank him for helping me write this song. We actually just recorded a music video and it's hopefully coming out this fall. We built a bridge on my parents' property and we had everybody wear name tags and write negative words on them and wear them like name tags. And throughout the video, everybody put their words all over this bridge. At the end, we burned it all down. It was like a big therapy session. And watching some of those words burning was really, really emotional and really kind of special for everybody involved. It was interesting because there was a couple of words that wouldn't burn. Towards the bottom, it was addiction was one of the words. And I was thinking, like, how symbolic is that? So it was just interesting to me that that word had such a hard time, like, burning off because it stuck around. And it's like, I get chills every time I talk about this. Yeah. But I'm like, how crazy symbolic. Like, we're so quick to label people.
It's so much easier to actually care about people rather than going the other direction.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then we hear something about so-and-so, and then that's always like a preconceived idea in our mind. All of these negative ideas that we already have in our head going up to talk to somebody, and it's like, no. And we have amazing times, and we have hard times, and it's life.
Even though you're saying, you can't do this, don't do this to me, it's still a positive message for other people.
Right. Yeah. And it's, I'm kind of like talking to myself through a lot of this, even though it's like you, it's kind of like I'm talking, preaching to the choir. And yeah, it's been a big message on my heart.
Do you look at music as sort of being a light when it's dark? Is music a light to you, and can it be a light for other people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This makes me feel something, and music makes you feel something. Whether good emotions or bad emotions, emotions are something that we all have and go through, and it's good to express and understand those emotions before we can move on and then find that light and find that happiness.
Talking with Wisconsin musician Shekinah King. Now, you just released a brand new album. You just so happy to get it out into the world for everyone to enjoy.
And you were talking about music being a light, and that's always been kind of an anchor for me. Like, happiness and finding joy doesn't mean that your life is going to be perfect. It's finding peace in the storm, and it's learning how to protect your joy.
We are going to end on the new song, You're Not Broken. Tell us about this one, Shekinah.
So this song just says, if you're fighting an invisible war, and then the chorus says, it doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean you're strange. It doesn't mean you're helpless. You've just had some bad days. Your life is worth so much more than you can imagine. I love you, and no one can take your place.
Here is You're Not Broken from Shekinah King. And I thank you so much for sharing your light with all of us.
Thank you for having me today.
And you're working through unthinkable things. If your heart can't take it anymore, just hold on and there'll be better days. It doesn't mean you're broken, doesn't mean you're doesn't mean you're helpless. You've had some bad days. Your life is worth so much more than you can imagine. I love you and no one can take your place. And I love you and no one can take your place. If you're somewhere you never thought you'd be, you're running hard just to be free. If you're loved but you still feel the pain, just hold on and there'll be better days. It doesn't mean you're broken, doesn't mean you're strange, doesn't mean you're helpless. You've had some bad days.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features by Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Pete Schwabe, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by John Mino and Jim Schmidt. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me at any time, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. You can also text us through our Civic Media app. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.